You're listening to Adventures in Autism. Each episode, we will bring you the latest in news regarding autism, as well as our personal story and the topic of the week. We are not medical professionals, and none of the information that we give should be taken as such. Instead, we are parents of a severely autistic child. We are here to share our lives and our personal experiences with you. If you would like to know more about our personal story or access any of our other podcasts, you may do so through openeyesnetwork.com. If you would like to share your personal story with us, you may send an email to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com or access our Facebook fan page at Open Eyes Network, as well as our Twitter feed at Open Eyes Network. Thanks for listening. Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Adventures in Autism. My name is Ira Robinson.
And this is Jolene Robinson.
And we have a really big show on tap for you guys tonight. We have a topic that is near and dear to our hearts, I guess you could say, because we have a lot of personal experience with it. And that is the idea of raising a child that has autism or really any other mental disorders. Or any kind of physical disorders, really, and being a step parent or choosing to be a step parent to a child that is along those lines. So I think that this is a topic that a lot of people out there are contending with. What do you think?
I'd say so, because I mean, we know the divorce rates when it comes to parents who have a child with autism and any sort of disorder or what have you, does tend to increase. And if you can find someone else that can handle the tides, as you could say, you know, can handle it all, then it, you know, not just for your own sake, but for the one that is disabled, is it really a good choice?
Well, yeah, I mean, the divorce rates in the United States alone are at 50%, and that's just, you know, 50% across the board. When you add in a child that has disabilities, that actually tends to increase the divorce rate. Mm-hmm. You know, the divorce rate among those who have disabled children are actually higher because it really does add a lot of stress into the marriage.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You get not only the stress from the disorder itself, but you also get a lot of stress because that tends to add a lot of financial stress on people, and it adds a lot of emotional stress, as well as the fact that a lot of times one parent or the other will harbor guilty feelings about the fact that the child is disabled.
Yeah, was it me that caused this, you know, something in my genes, or did I do something wrong somewhere? Or
you get that a lot, especially as a mother. I know I did as a father. It may not be as prevalent with the dads, but I know for sure it definitely is with the mothers, that tends to be at least in the back of the mind. And that does add a lot of issues into the marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Because then arguments can ensue regarding all of that. So, you know, because of that, I mean, divorce rates among those who have disabled kids are rather high. And that definitely increases the likelihood that down the line, that one parent or the other is going to get married again and add a step into into the mix, basically. Whether or not the child is living with the person, you know, living with the child or not, they still are going to be in the picture, basically.
Yeah, they're still going to be an influence one way or another, whether it be positive or negative.
So I want to take things from one perspective. In the case of with my side of things, having to make the decision to add a step parent into the family. And I know that Jolene will go from the perspective of
the
being
step-parent.
A step parent because she is a step parent to all of the kids. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we actually have the two perspectives here for you guys. Now, let me start with my side first, and then we'll get into yours in a little while. I'm better.
You were the original. You get to go first.
That's right. Okay. So as far as the, being the parent, being the actual biological parent and adding somebody into the mix, I guess the first thing that I want to state, and it should be obvious, I think, but I think it's a good reminder for those who are out there that are considering adding in a step, into the mix. You really have to choose carefully who you're going to be adding into the mix. For me, when Seth and Crystal were younger, the bio mom took off. She was gone. She was no longer in the picture at all, which is advantageous because then, you know, we don't have to deal with the two sides pulling against each other and all of that kind of stuff. However, with my oldest child, now she's not disabled, but with my oldest child, she was living with her biological mother and I did not have full custody of her. We had joint custody basically. So I got remarried after I divorced my first wife, which was the mother of my oldest child, Bethany. And when I got remarried, the person that I married was not the right choice as far as my child was concerned. And unfortunately, I kind of took a selfish approach with it and said, you know, it can all be dealt with, basically. It wasn't. My second wife and my daughter did not get along at all. And it added a whole element into it all that, you know, was unnecessary, basically. And so, you know, that's, I guess, one thing, learn from my mistakes, you know, don't just tread lightly into the whole issue, because if you are not very choosy about who you bring into the family, it can definitely cause a lot of issues.
As you look at me, what?
But it's true. I mean, for me, like, I guess what I would advocate for people or what I would recommend in a big way is that while you might care for the person, the chemistry between the children and the person has to be there as well. Because if it's not, it's definitely going to cause a lot of issues later down the line, whether it does at that moment or not. You know, it may in the future, basically.
Oh, yeah, I can kind of go from that. My dad died when I was little. And my mom, when I was about, I don't know, before kindergarten, preschool age, we ended up living with a boyfriend of hers. And I got along with him great. Which was good, because we lived at his house. But, yeah, I got along with him just great. And then when we left him, we moved away, we lived by ourselves for a while, and then my mom eventually started trying to date again, and the first guy she dated him for, I don't know, maybe a year? Maybe not that long. And that guy, he and I did not get along. I mean, I started
He was
getting,
a jerk.
Well, he absolutely ignored me. He'd come over and, I mean, he wouldn't even really acknowledge that I was there, even though it's like, look, I live here. But I mean, he would ignore me. My mom would try and get us to talk to each other and he'd just kind of be like, oh yeah, that's cool, and go straight back to her. And I mean, I did not feel right around him. I did not feel safe around him. I didn't, you know, he just did not give off a good feeling. And eventually it got to the point that one day I was crying after he had left. My mom's like, what's wrong? I'm like, no, you're happy. I don't want to screw things up for you. And she's like, what's wrong? And it's like, I just can't handle him. He absolutely ignores me, but I know you're in love with him, and it's not right that, you know, I'm the reason you're gonna break up with him or anything. And she's like, no, 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 your feelings are of value to me. This was when we were still somewhat...
when she cared.
this was still somewhat, yeah, when our relationship was still somewhat better, but... Yeah, so she ended up breaking up with him, thankfully, because, I mean, I could not handle it when he came over. But I knew that she was happy, because apparently this was a guy that she had been together with before my dad. I don't know if he was a high school sweetheart or what. I don't really know how or where he comes into the picture, but, like, some of my family remembered the guy. So, I mean, she's been with him before, so.
Well, and with that, then... You know, you might be adding in the idea of resentment, like if she broke up with him, got together with your dad, had you, and then after he passed away, she got together with him again.
You know, well, no, I'm not meaning she was directly with him before my dad. I just know that she was with him at a time before my dad.
Okay, but I understand that. But what I'm meaning is, like, that is actually something that does occur, is that a lot of times you will get a lot of resentment in the emotional makeup of the family if a step comes into the picture, either on the part of the child itself or on the part of the person who's moving in, you know, who's you know, coming into the family. They might actually resent the child that's there for whatever reason.
No, I know for sure what my issue is. My main issue was the fact that this guy's name was Dennis and my dad's name was Dennis. And up until this point in time, I knew dang well nothing about my dad. And I had tried to ask my mom questions about my own dad throughout my life, which is like the main issue with me and my mom. And so then she started dating this guy, perfectly timed around the time I started my period for my first time and everything else. So I'm already going through emotional turmoil. And now she's dating a guy that shares my own dad's real name. And not only that, but the guy looked so much like a video, like the guy in a video that my cousin had shown me when I was younger saying, this is your dad. Because the picture, the video shows my mom together with like a thin guy and this guy kind of fits it, of course, younger. And my dad, the only two pictures I've ever seen of my dad, shows him as kind of a heavyset kind of guy. So it's like, I don't know. I do believe, though, that that video was when my mom was with her previous husband, not my dad, because her previous husband is thin and they look kind of the same. But yeah. Anyway, so, I mean, it was kind of, you know, was my dad like this? If my dad was alive, would he act like this to me? That was kind of what went through my mind when he was there. And this guy, I mean, I looked at him, he looked like somebody... they could kill somebody. I mean, I did not feel safe around that guy.
Another creep.
Oh, well, he's the reason why for a while I had fears of windows, because he, in the middle of the night, came through my mom's window and they did the boing-a-boing, but I had no idea what was happening. I mean, I just went into my room and all of a sudden I'm hearing strange sounds in a window and I'm terrified. I'm just terrified. My mom at the time had her door closed. And I'm just hearing weird sounds, and I have no idea what's going on. And it's the first time that I got introduced to what would be sex, you know. So
heck of a lesson.
Oh, my God, yeah. And after that, I was paranoid that he was going to try and come through my window. So that's why after that, I was kind of paranoid of windows, because it's like, is he going to come through my window and either do the same or kill me? Because I had the whole... He looked like he could kill somebody. I mean, it was...
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was pretty paranoid of windows after a while because of that. I was shit scared of falling asleep. I'm facing a window. It's like, oh no, there's a shadow.
Well, see, and all that really is actually a really good point with it all, because, you know, when you're the bio parent and you're bringing somebody else into the fold, these are the thoughts that go through the kids' heads. You know, and this is just a normal thinking kid, you know, let alone somebody who also has other, you know, issues happening as well. You know, for instance, with Seth, he a lot of times has the hallucinations issue and that kind of thing that go on. Plus, he has all the emotional turmoil anyways. And that just, I mean, it adds a whole new level into the nightmare that can go through their heads.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So again, you know, with from my perspective of things, if you're the biological parent and you are considering adding a step into the mix, be cautious. Be really cautious about who you're adding in and make sure that they are, well, trustworthy enough, really. I mean, when it comes down to it, that they are going to be, you know, okay with your kids. That's number one. And that's even just with, you know, again, quote unquote, normal kids. Toss in the fact of this child also has a disability on top of it, and they need that much more attention, that much more care, that much more love. Yeah, well, I mean, all kids need as much love as you can give them, but you know what I'm getting at with it. You know, they need that much more of a patience, I guess you could say. And as a step parent, it's really easy to lose perspective because this isn't your biological child.
Yeah.
You know, so that's always there in the back of the head, basically. So as a step parent, what's your perspective on things? What do you have that could be added to what I have said so far?
Well, I'm fortunate enough that I was a step parent to them when they were younger. If I were to do it when they're at this present age, it would be a lot harder. But, I mean, the biggest thing was I had to take in consideration of, not just for Crystal's sake, but for Seth's sake, if anything were to happen to us, you know, you and me, honey, and we did not work out, despite what we thought, you know, if we did not work out, me leaving would be more devastating than me not even entering the picture, and if they accepted me, you know, if I was able to be together with you and they accept me and whatnot, if we did not work out to the point that I had to leave, you know, it was that much, it would be very, very detrimental, not just to Crystal, but especially to Seth. Because whether he liked me or not, whether he, you know, whether he appreciated me or not, whether he got along with me or not, just the act of someone once being in a house, now no longer being in a house, that act alone would set him off.
Right. Well, yeah, what I would add to that is that, you know, autistic kids especially, they are so dependent on structure.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get at, yeah.
That, you know, removing that is, you literally are removing their structure.
Exactly.
And that is going to cause all kinds of havoc, to say the least. It's a really good point that you make there with not just coming in, but there is the possibility that the relationship between you and the step-parent are not going to work out. So, you know, what's going to happen then?
You know? That was one of the biggest things that I really had to think about, because it's like, granted, I think we're going to last forever, but every couple kind of thinks that way.
Yeah, you always have that in the back of the head, so, you know, oh, is this actually going to last?
So, you know, I had to actually think, you know, if we don't work out, if something were to happen and we didn't work out, would we still be able to at least, you know, what would happen to Seth in the mix? Crystal, depending on the age of how old she was, if we ever had a fallout, depending on her age, she'd be able to comprehend and accept and move on way easier than Seth.
Right.
So it was a huge... She could handle it better than Seth could.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, with Seth, I mean, you were a big factor in him talking again. You know, you were one of the major factors in him even speaking again after he lost it.
Yeah.
You had a really deep connection with him, even more so than I did at the time, even as his biological parent. For whatever reason, for a while there, he was disconnected from me. He, you know, I guess you could say didn't want to have much to do with me, I guess. I not really the best way to put it, but,
I think it's probably more along the lines of I was someone on the outside first. I was someone on the outside, and I was obviously younger. For those of you who don't know, there is an age difference between us.
Yeah.
I am considerably younger, so I'm more his age in his mind, you know. And I was able to... I had the agility, I guess you could say, the flexibility to get down on the floor with him and
yeah,
do this
better
and
than
that
I
with
did
him.
With me being blind and all
exactly,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I was actually able to get down, and if he pointed to something, I could see what he's pointing to. And
I think there's that as well as I was there when he lost everything. You know, I was right there with him the whole time that he fell apart. And I wonder sometimes if the issues, like connection wise, are because he, I guess, remembers the fact that I was there.
Subconsciously knows you were part of it.
Right. And so, you know, some kind of weirdness goes on in the subconscious and says, well, this is your fault, you know, and that kind of thing. You know, that kind of thing happens. It's transference. It's standard psychology. It's a transferal thing. This person was there, so you transfer the emotions onto them. I think that's part of what occurred, you know, but because you weren't there. But see, the thing is though, too, you as his, you've been there basically their whole lives. One way or the other, they've known you their whole lives. And that has made things a lot easier, I think, overall.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to like what most of the audience is going to be, you know, going through.
Just two random people coming together.
Exactly.
After the fact.
And you know, the person, the child could be, you know, years old, basically, when this other person moves into the picture. So they will have no base, you know, baseline with the child to begin with. So,
yeah, I met you before Seth was born, and I think I only saw you the one time before Seth was born.
Yeah.
And then the next time I saw you was
after
shortly
he was
after.
Born, right.
Yeah, shortly after he was born. So, I mean, I was right there.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Now, I did not see his birth, and for most of his first year, I was not really much in the picture. However, it's not like he's going to remember that, but I'm just saying, you know, for the first year, I wasn't so much in the picture. That was when we had our separation anyways, and then after the fact was when I started coming over more and seeing him and seeing you and yada.
Yep. So, okay, let's try this then, or let's do this then. With you being the step parent, what, I guess I can do a little bit of an interview here. With you being a step parent, okay, to these two kids, well, three, but the other one is, you know, 24 and on her own and all that kind of stuff.
Pretty much my same age.
So, I mean, you know, we don't usually include her in the subjects with all of this. We usually just talk about Seth and Crystal because both of those are, you know, way younger. But okay. So as the step parent to these two, when you came into the picture, what were, besides the wonder of whether or not we were going to remain together and what is this going to do to the kids? What would you say were your biggest fears when you were first here, basically?
I'd have to say whether or not, because yes, me and Seth did have a good relationship to begin with. I mean, we kind of hit it off pretty much right away. So pretty much just, will it stay? Or, especially during the puberty time, you know, this time period, would he rebel so much against me? Because, you know, kids just kind of rebel at this age, you know.
It's so just their thing. Yeah.
Exactly. So would he rebel so much against me that it would cause more harm for me being here? As opposed to not, kind of thing. Or the same with Crystal. You know, since she is the one that's... I mean, because they both know that I'm not their real mom. Seth doesn't really comprehend that.
He doesn't care either way.
He doesn't care, and he doesn't really know. He doesn't really understand. I mean, I've explained it to him, but he doesn't okay, that's fine, mommy. That's kind of the response I get out of him.
Okay, that's fine, mommy. Let's play Super Smash Brothers.
Exactly, yeah. Let's play a game now, mommy. Whereas Crystal is able to really comprehend what it means, you know. I mean, she knows right now. I mean, she already knows. Hi, Crystal. You know, she already knows, you know, that I'm not her real mom. She knows the story behind it all. And what if, you know, say in just a few years, or maybe even this year, the next week, you know, we have a fight for whatever weird reason, you know, we have a fight and there's a fallout between me and her. That will affect Seth, you know, to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he won't really comprehend it if it's because, you know, if she were to say something, you know, well, I don't have to listen to you. You're my stepmom, you know, something along those lines or whatnot. You know, Seth's just going to be so confused. What the heck, you know, and it's going to, you know, it's going to cause issues. That's one of the bigger ones that's come to my mind. Because, I mean, I see how me and my mom's relationship went. So, I mean, I'm paranoid of that happening to me and the kids.
Right, because you've had the experience of going through that yourself. So,
you know, yeah, I mean, not me,
to be a pattern.
Not me going to my mom and saying, I don't have to listen to you, you're my stepmom. No, no, she's my real mom, no. But, I mean, me and my mom, roughly around the age of 12 and 13, me and her, our relationship just fell apart, you know. I mean,
right.
we pretty much fell apart, and I was just living there till I could leave and move out. I mean, that's pretty much what it was, you know. And I would hate for anything like that to happen to me and one of the kids. One of us have an issue, especially if it was Crystal. I mean, because I don't see it so much happening with me and Seth. I mean, me and Seth are pretty much best buds, you know.
Yeah.
But especially with me and Crystal, because it's like if something like that were to happen, it would be detrimental to Seth. And I would hate to think in the back of my head, great, one of your other daughters is being pushed away from you because of someone. I would hate for that to happen, and it'd be just that much more amplified because I never grew up with a dad, and it's like, she's so lucky to have a dad to grow up with, and you know, so it's just over and over, just that whole situation.
Right, yeah, so it's a cyclic kind of a fear that goes on in your mind.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, let's go ahead and take a break here real quick. When we come back, let's talk about what you see as being some advantages of being a step-parent as opposed to being a bio-parent. And I think that'll be an interesting topic. So stick around with us, folks. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener-supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed.
Mm-hmm.
fear. There is always so much to fear. So many shadows are just waiting for the moment for when we pay no attention at all. Just waiting for the moment when they can grab us and make us come undone. Fear takes, and fear gives nothing in return. But there is one gift in this life that fear is afraid of. The gift of love. Reach out for someone today. Fear nothing, for fear is nothing. Live hard. Open Eyes looks for the truth in all things, no matter where it may lead. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters are bringing to this world, or aliens and UFOs, no subject is taboo or off-limits. Listen to Open Eyes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the LNM Network at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes. Well, hello there, and welcome back to Adventures in Autism. My name is Ira.
And this is Jolene.
And we would like to welcome you guys back from that break. Thank you so much for sticking around through it. Before we went to the break, we were talking about being a step-parent and the fears that can come with being a step-parent, among other things. And, you know, before we touch on the topic of the advantages, I guess you could say, of being a step-parent, I also want to include in this topic anybody who is an adoptive parent or parents of disabled children, as well as foster parents of them. You know, God bless you. If you're the type of person, you know, I guess before getting to that, I've heard a lot of people say over the years that, you know, I'm a really strong person and that, you know, they're praise me basically for raising Seth in the way that I've raised him and that you've raised him and all of that kind of stuff that goes with it. But, you know, for me, I mean, he's my son. He's always going to be my little guy, no matter what, you know? So, I mean, for me, it's a given that he's going to be with me for the rest of my life. And I know you feel the same way.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, he's yours as much as he can be, you know,
besides
being blood, which I, you know, in the end really doesn't matter. But for someone who has taken the decision upon themselves to, you know, go out and adopt a disabled child, that's somebody I have a lot of respect for. I really do, because that's something special indeed. You know, I mean, I'm just the dad, and it was just a happenstance thing that my son has been this way, but that was somebody choosing to go out and take this on themselves. And that is, I think, spectacular. So, you know, I just kind of wanted to toss that out with regards to this topic, you know, that I have a lot of, respect for somebody that, you know, does that. So, just my thoughts, you know. I don't know if you want to add anything to that or not.
No, I think you said it beautifully.
So, as a step parent, let's see what you can come up with here. What do you see as being maybe some advantages of being a step parent as opposed to maybe a bio parent or something like that when it comes to a disabled child?
Well, the biggest one that comes to my mind is I'm not sitting around constantly wondering what happened. Like, where did I go wrong? What was it that I did that caused this to happen? I don't sit around and think that because, I mean, obviously I had nothing to do with this happening. So when it comes to, you know, if he's having a time period of a meltdown, you know, I can see you get depressive. I can even see your mom get depressive, you know, and whatnot. And I don't because, I mean, stop it. We need to take care of him. Don't just sit there and feel sorry for yourself. Because, I mean, but I understand, you know,
it's an energy thing, you know, instead of wasting the energy on the guilt, actually focus that same amount of energy on making things better. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So instead of, you know, I've seen you get down when, you know, he's going through a time period and you're just, you know, you just start crying and you're like, I wish he was still normal. I wish he could do this and that and that and this. And it's like, to me, he's always been this way. So, I mean, yes, I saw him before he changed, but not very much. So
I think every bio parent really does go through that because, you know,
dreamed
of the potentials that they would have, you know, and all that kind of stuff while they were in the womb and so on and so forth.
Well, it was your bread that you baked, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you helped to create the child, you know, you helped to create it, and to see it not quite turn out the way you expected or had hoped, you know, yes, it's going to. I mean, it's
the
like
souffle fell.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, say you and I were to have a child, you know, the same thing would happen. Then yes, then I would be going through the same thing.
Right.
But I'm not, you know, so I'm able to not go through those emotional turmoils of, you know, where did I go wrong? You know, oh, we should have looked into the shots things earlier, with the vaccines thing earlier. Oh my gosh, you know, what could we have done different during that time period? You know, I'm not stuck with that. So I'm able to help him better because I'm not thinking of the past or thinking of what I could have done.
Yeah. I see another advantage too, and I don't know if you were thinking this or not, but
that was the biggest one that came to my mind.
One other thing that I could see being an advantage with it is that as opposed to being a bio parent and having to be like more in the mind of, you know, I'm the parent kind of thing, you can also come at it not just from the I'm your parent thing, but also, hey, I can also be a friend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I'm not your blood mother, you know, so.
I know. Yeah. Me and Seth are more friends than actual step parents.
There are times. Yeah. You definitely take the parental role with it, but you also step in with him as being, hey, I'm going to be your play buddy and all that kind of stuff.
You know? Yeah.
And you've always done that. And that's something that he's always expected from you. That's your role basically that you play in the family.
At least once a month, he's like, let's play toys, mommy. Oh God, I don't want to play toys anymore. Okay, fine. You're on this mode and you don't want Crystal to play with you and daddy can't get down on the floor with you. And sure as heck, grandma's not going to. Fine, I'll get on the floor and play toys with you.
It's either you or the cat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good, you know, way of, I guess, looking at things is that between all of these different aspects of things, you can actually come at things and be more of a, like a steam release valve, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Because of your presence. I guess with you, I know that we have the advantage because, again, you know, they've both known you all along. So it's not the same as perhaps a person coming in after the kids are teenagers and all that kind of stuff. And they've gone through all of their experiences, you know.
Yeah, no, I got to see Crystal the day she was born, for example.
Right, right. Exactly. So for those that are steps that are kind of moving into a situation, the best thing that I can say as far as advice is concerned is, number one, you know, make sure that you yourself are ready to handle the responsibility of having this child who is disabled under your wing. Because whether or not you really want it or not, they're now going to be under your wing.
Yeah, look at every pro and con with it and be realistic. Such as in our case, we know for sure Seth's going to have to live with us for the rest of his life. There's no way he can live independently, not at his current circumstance. So, you know, you got to be realistic. Is this child someone you're going to have to live with for the rest of your life? And if you're someone who's wanting to, you know, travel when the kids grow up, well, you're going to have to be realistic. Are you really going to be able to do that? You know, you got to really face the facts.
Right, right. Recognize the fact that, you know, not only with children who don't have disabilities, you're going to have to make sacrifices. You know, it's just the way that it is. But when it comes to moving into a family that has a disabled child, the sacrifices are even more. And you're going to have to definitely take that into consideration. Is this something that you can do or are willing to do? And if so, you know, are you going to hold any kind of resentment towards the kids because of it? And if that's the case, then everybody would really be better served by not entering into that family.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, you know, if you're getting involved with somebody who does have a disabled child, especially one with autism, but I guess it really does qualify for everybody. If you are moving into this situation and you're just doing it like as a fling or anything like that, please don't play that game, you know,
especially and if there's a disabled person involved.
Right. And if you're the bio parent, you know, again, you as well take responsibility and don't play games. If you're going to seek somebody that's going to be a person who you would be willing to have in that child's life for the rest of their days. Because, you know, you can't play games either, you know? And I just want to make that clear. I mean, I know probably all of our listeners are not going to fall under that category at all, but, you know, it still has to be said. We've both known people over the years who do get involved in relationship after relationship, and they do have a disabled child, and we see the impact that this has on that child, and it really is a bad impact, a really hard impact on the kids that are involved with it, you know?
Especially if you go from person to person to person, and they see and meet every single person.
Right, exactly. Especially if you're, you know, the type of person that wants to seek out the next daddy or the next mommy or whatever, you know, I mean, it's not a good thing. So make sure that you're taking things firmly in hand as well, that you are not going to play that game, not just for the sake of it's not the right thing to do, obviously, but also it's definitely not the right thing to do in relation to how your disabled kid is being treated as well. So, I mean, that's my thoughts on it. That's my take on it. What would you add to that?
I would kind of add on the same thing you were saying, you know, in our case, you know, with Seth having autism, if you were to do that, that would skew his view of reality that is the norm. As opposed to, obviously, not really a healthy, normal thing to do, but
yeah, it's that way definitely with any kids. I mean, you know, if you as the parent are somebody who is, you know, kind of jumping from person to person to person, is that something that you really want your kids to see and to be raised up to do, you know, because you know that that's not really the right way to go, you know? But also if you toss in the autism on top of it, you know, it's that much worse. It really is. I mean, if you consider, again, like we were saying earlier, for especially an autistic person, the structure is like the most important thing in their lives. They have to have a very strict structure in order to really function. And if they go outside of that structure, man, they really start falling apart and melting down. So, you know, you can't be structured and have different people moving into their lives on a constant basis, you know?
We were fortunate to know that me entering the picture was going to be an okay idea because, you know, I would come over and visit all the time, and Seth started eventually asking, you know, when are you going to stay forever?
Right. Yeah. He was recognizing that this was going to be a permanent thing.
Yeah. He was sad that every time I left and was like, oh, yeah, I miss he was. You. I want you to come back.
And I would see that forlorn look on his face whenever you would leave.
He'd sometimes cry when I left.
Oh, yeah. 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 So I knew that he was definitely going to be accepting of you. And of course, Crystal, she just adored you. So
she was a little young yet to really comprehend what was going on with it all, but
but it was definitely there. So we've got about 5 minutes left. What kind of thoughts do you have in relation to this topic that we haven't covered yet?
Don't know. We kind of did a lot of good topics.
Aha. Uh-huh. See, I hit you with not knowing anything here.
Not knowing. Let's see.
Well, okay. So let's ask this then. If you had to do it all over again, would you?
Like, pretend this didn't happen and
situation,
choose it over?
Yeah, if the situation went all the way from the beginning, would you still accept the responsibility and accept the things that have gone on so far, you know, good and bad, because there has been good and bad. Would you still be willing to do it knowing what you know now?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. Definitely I would. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't know how else to say it. Yeah. I mean, yes.
Yes.
100%.
Well, you know, when I look at the situation, I mean, I feel the same way, of course. I have no regrets about anything myself. You know, I don't believe in regrets. I've gone into that on my own show, Open Eyes, quite a few times. And you guys can go to the archives at openeyesnetwork.com and listen to some of those archives, and you'll see, you know, my take on that subject. But, you know, if I had to do it over again, would I choose for Seth to be a different way? Sure, most definitely. But he's this way, so, you know, what can you do, right? you take it as it comes, and everything happens for a reason. But I guess I just want to say here and now that as far as I'm concerned, as the biological parent, I mean, not just because I love you and all of that kind of stuff that goes with it, am I grateful for you being here, but I'm grateful for the person that you are in the way that you came into the situation, because this could have been so much different and so much harder and so, you know, a lot worse, basically, if it weren't for you being here. And so, you know, I would hope that for everybody that's out there that is either a step parent themselves or is looking to become a step parent to a disabled kid, you know, take what we've said in this episode in mind and think about the consequences, basically, of your actions. Are you ready to handle the responsibility? And if so, are you ready to give of yourself as freely and completely as you possibly can for the sake of the kids?
That's very beautifully put. I do have one other side thing.
Okay.
Being a step parent coming into this situation, one thing too, especially with a disabled kid, is don't push them to call you mom or dad or whatever role you are taking. Don't push them into it. You know, I didn't with Seth or Chris. You know, I just let them, up until I was officially moved in, they both called me Chicky. That was the nickname they had, because it was a family nickname I have had. I don't really know where it came from. It's just a nickname I've always had. And when Seth was just trying to speak again, he could not say Jolene. He could not say it. So I tried Chicky because I knew he could say chick, you know, like a little baby chicken. So I was like, okay, let's just try Chicky. And if he can call me that or some variation thereof, that would work better, because he could not make the J sound. So it was a very difficult name for him to say. So I was like, okay, let's just go with Chicky. So for a long while, I was Chi. And then Chi-Chi.
You were Chi-Chi for a long
while. I was Chi-Chi for a long while. First it was just Chi, then it was Chi-Chi. But yeah, so that was my nickname. And Crystal picked it up too, so she called me Chicky. And then when I moved in, I just let them slowly call me Mommy. I mean, I never forced them to. I never referred myself to Mommy. I never tried to correct them. Seth pretty readily, he pretty much switched immediately. He was already kind of calling me Mommy before I moved in. But
yeah,
so he switched. Crystal was a little later, but that's okay. I mean, I didn't want to force it, especially too, because I wanted them to know once they got to a certain age to really somewhat start to understand that I really wasn't their real mom too. So,
well, and that's really good advice. I think that is a something that should be kept in mind, even as the biological parent, that don't push the kids to, you know, call the step parent anything other than what they feel comfortable calling them. And they can change on their own, you know, change into, you know, morph into whatever it is that they want to do besides calling you bad names, I guess is the,
yeah, as long as they don't say something that I can't say on air, then we're good.
Exactly.
But yeah. I mean, even now, if he wanted to revert back and call me Chicky again, that'd be fine. I mean, that's just his own way of, it's just a name, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So guys, I hope that you have enjoyed this episode as much as we've enjoyed bringing it to you. I hope that you guys take the advice that we gave in here to heart and use it in your own lives. And if you have your own story to tell, we'd love to hear it. You can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you guys want to go to the show notes for this show, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com/AA006. And if you want to reach us on Facebook or Twitter, you can go to Ira Robinson or Open Eyes Network on both of those platforms. And is there anything else that you wanted to add here real quick? We've got like less than 30 seconds.
If you have any questions or comments about being a step parent or having someone be a step-parent into the relationship, feel free to contact us and I will reply to it as well.
Yes, most definitely. So guys, until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.